Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow.
Oh, my.
Oh, and look over there.
Wow, is that Ooh, culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong! Las Culturistas calling!
My sister in the chat.
My sister has entered the chat. You look, you still have the same glow, the same sun kiss on you from the island.
I might have done a shirtless hike before.
Today? Oh my god, I missed
Yesterday.
Griffin.
Yesterday. Oh, Griffith, mama.
Griffith, I'm
How
sorry.
How dare you? It's actually really Griffith. Culture number 8. It's Griffith.
It's Griffith. How dare
Not,
you?
How dare you?
I meant to say Griffith. I actually knew it was Griffith. As soon as the word Griffin left my mouth, I
you
thought.
You knew it wasn't right.
I screwed up.
I messed up. Can I actually want to reveal this to the readers. So Bowen Yang famously came to visit me in Los Angeles after my breakup last year.
Yes.
And he came to my aid, and you got right on a plane like my sister and the other half of my heart.
Was so happy to. It was not an inconvenience for me. I had to be there.
And you got here during one of your breaks from SNL, famous sketch comedy program. More on that in a second. And you get here, and we're having several days of fun.
Yes.
Except one day you say, and I brought you to Griffith. And I sort of yes. showed you Griffith. We hiked Griffith.
Yes.
And one day you say to me, I think I'm just going to chill today. Just like hang out. I was like, okay. So I go for
a
hike.
We both needed a day. I think it was a mutually agreed upon day, like
Absolutely.
A separate day. Which Absolutely. Is so healthy of us. Yeah.
And then we truly had the same idea because I'm sort of hiking Griffith. I look 100 yards in front of me, and it could have been no one else's calves, but the iconic calves of one Bowen Yang, stomping the yard, getting the steps, climbing the heights of Griffith. And I ran to him, and I said, our break is over. I'm hiking with you again.
And I said, oh my God, is this real? Is this you? And I think that's just the way the world is telling us that we cannot be apart for too long.
No, no.
Even though we create the distance for a good reason, like magnetic poles.
We know codependency, okay?
Oh, we've seen it. We've seen it up close and personal.
We've seen it up close
I know
and personal.
Michelle Obama. Hey, clown.
Jester, you have done it again. Constantly raising the bar for the circus.
And doing it foolishly.
So get this.
Get this.
This is probably going to be my favorite episode we've ever done.
Oh my God. I agree. I agree with you that it's going to be your favorite episode that we've ever done and my favorite episode we've ever done. This has been a long time coming. This was written in the stars.
It was written in the stars, as Aida the show once said. And I will say this. 2 episodes into Schmigadoon, a show that my sister wrote for, we should say.
Oh, come on.
Well, you wrote for the show.
Consulting wrong producer, about saying it? You know, like the kind of the entry point, you know, writer's room,
what is
you know,
with
thing.
You?
I'm just demystifying this for the reader. I'm just letting you know that, like, how perfect is it that it was my first post-SNL writer's room for it to be a show that is about, you know, Oscars and Hammerstein musical or that era of movie musical.
Oscars and Hammerstein. You hear that one?
No, stop. I literally just woke up from a nap. Don't do this.
It's true. I FaceTimed you right before and you had the blinders on. You sleep with those things?
Can I tell you? My circadians are fucked ever since I've worked at Saturday Night Live, a sketch program. More on that later.
Circadian rhythm, such a sort of, I love the way that sounds. Circadian rhythm. Something about those words.
The blank fills itself, circadians.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those. Anyway, I need that to sleep now because
yeah.
These have like padding on them that really press down on your sort of orbital bones and your brow bones in a way that really relaxes you immediately. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend.
Yeah. Anyway, we're surprised to see you wearing them. What I was going to say was that this year we're both getting our first episode credits.
Oh, we are getting our first episode credits.
Because my episode God. Of Q-Force comes out on September 2nd. And Mama, you, I guess this, your, what episode did you write of Schmigadoon? One of the best shows I've seen recently.
One of the best shows I've seen. Who wrote episode 3 with Julie Klausner? Wonderful, wonderful.
Icon and friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Schmigadoon, it's on Apple TV Plus.
Mm.
Stars our guest, Keegan-Michael Key, Kristen Chenoweth, Alan Cumming, Fred Armisen, Anne Harada, so many people. Aaron Tveit, Dove Cameron.
When I saw Anne Harada, I fell on my hole. I fell off my chair onto my hole. I was like, this is how you know the casting director got it. They were like, we're putting Anne on the show. Genius.
Genius casting. I mean, Telsey, we got to give it up to Telsey.
Come on, Bernie Telsey.
Come on, Bernie.
It's actually Real Culture number 51. Come on, Bernie Telsey.
But first and foremost, it is a perfect showcase and vehicle for our guest. You know her from Saturday Night Live. She's one of the best to ever do it.
I was talking to Sudi the other day. I was like, one of the best to ever do it.
One of the best to ever do it.
I rarely get starstruck.
How often do you and I quote
Terrazanos?
How often do you and I quote Terrazanos? All the time.
Almost weekly.
We watched it. We did a watch party for Terrazanos the other day. We were just like, this is one of the all-time greats. Anyway, enough of this. Let's bring in our guest.
Emmy nominee, please
welcome into your ears.
Oh, come on. Cecily Strong!
Oh, my God. Finally. Guys, that was so hard to be quiet through all of that. Did you notice I was doing sign language applause?
Yeah. You had that going on.
Yes.
That is applause. That's
no
sign.
More silence. No more silence. You're in the Zoom. Here we are.
I am in. I have missed Griffin. I'm here. I'm so happy.
Oh my God, we're so happy to have you. You're my favorite. I fucking love you. I'm upset. I honestly, like, it was like when Bowen first got the job at SNL and Sudi first got the job at SNL, I was like, Cecily, what's she like?
What's the deal?
I have to know everything.
And I said the same thing to my dog about Bowen and Sudi. That's who I talk to.
Lucy, what's the deal with Sudi and Bowen?
I mean, I can't believe it's taken this long to do this show.
The fates aligned in this way. Yeah. No, I can't believe it.
But this is a worthwhile occasion.
I needed to wait until you were a consulting producer.
Yeah, until Bowen got to that level.
Until I was a consulting producer and I'd gotten an eye mask with padding on it. And
yes.
For you to have a book coming out. Oh, we forgot to mention the damn book. Oh my God,
what
we can't wait for the
book. Goddamn year, Jesus.
This will all be okay in the end. I love that you just called it
This Will All Be Okay in the End.
Wait, what is it? No.
The title is This Will All Be Over Soon.
No, oh my God.
But you know,
Griffin Park and This Will All Be Okay in the End.
No, this
Please,
will all be over.
Are you kidding? I love it.
I've been reading it so diligently.
And you got a more This Will All Be Okay. In the end, kind of.
This will all be over soon. No, Sess, you can't. Oh my God.
Sess, you can't.
That's the sequel. Sess, you can't.
Oh my God.
This will all be, you know, okay. A thing. And at some point.
Oh no.
Griffin Park's Owen Bowen.
What did I do last week? I did this. I fucked up a name. I really gotta like get my head checked or something.
My favorite thing is when people mess up names, but they're strong and wrong about it. Like Sudi Green is Definitely. The best with this. She said to me, what did she say? You know Chris Colfer from Glee?
Yeah.
One time she just said so many times Chris Kaufner. She was like, Chris Kaufner, you know, Chris Kaufner. And then she said Christy Brinkley when she meant to talk about Christine Baranski. And so she's just like a fount of that. So maybe you're just catching the bug, Bo.
My roommate and gay husband, Kevin, is very much that way. I like to think of it as like a Midwest mom thing. He also was like, tell them I say hi.
I love Kevin.
Sure, tell them you say hi. On the podcast, I'll start with that. Now here I am doing it. But like one time I was making lentil soup and he was like, and you're making yentl soup tonight?
Papa, can you make me?
Papa, hello. Can you...
Yes. Papa, can you legume me?
Oh, shit, Bo.
Yeah.
Well, God. You know what? I just think I must be forgiven. I demand forgiveness. Because this nap, which I timed to end minutes before this started,
but when I've had some red wine, 8 p.m. to me is like midnight.
1 o'clock. I have a Moscow Mule. And can I tell you?
Okay, great. I was going to ask.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to, you know, bring up anything personal.
Right. Well, this could be anything. I mean.
I have a delivery pho. This is pho broth.
Okay. I was going to say, well, that's a plastic.
Alcoholic pho? Maybe something. I don't know. Not for me, for the girls out there. Alcoholic pho. Figure it out.
Yeah, I'm not. That's not for me either.
No. What red wine are you drinking?
I'm drinking. So I have, I get cases of red Burgundy scent.
Oh,
I'm a member of the Burgundy. This is Elgin Selections. Yeah.
I used to belong to a wine club, and I felt that it was, it really encouraged me to drink a lot of it. And then all of a sudden, you have so much.
I know, but I've gone beyond the wine club, and I just order the cases. But I do love red Burgundy.
How's it hitting you tonight? What's it doing for you?
You know, it's nice. I'm feeling a little silly. I think I have TMJ.
Oh, no.
What?
No. Is that like pre-lockjaw? What is that?
I think, who could know? I just know that my jaw is hurting me.
Well, you know, how much can you open said jaw? Why don't you show us?
Why don't you show?
But it's in here.
Is it cracking?
Oh, yeah, no, you might have
cracking.
The TM.
It's cracking. It's doing like, you know, kind of pops.
Oh, no.
Oh, shoot. You know what? That's been happening to me lately, too. And I just...
Has it?
I need to come out of the shadows and say that it's been happening to me because it happens and I get so frightened and I'm like, oh, my jaw is literally coming off the hinges that I'm too afraid to tell anybody. And that's the first thing you need to do in order to make the situation better.
I know. I tell everybody because I assume it's cancer.
Right.
Anytime. Yes.
It's got to be the worst thing. You know what's interesting about opening mouths? I had a singing teacher in like college. I took like voice lessons for 2 semesters, and he said to me one time, you know, men when they sing don't have to open up their mouths as big as women. And I was like, is that true? And he was like, yes, because male resonators are different. And I was like, I think you're just using a bunch of words. But like, he was like, when you sing you shouldn't have to open your mouth very wide. You don't have to, but women it's different. And I was like, huh?
Because we have to flirt at the same time.
And you flirt by showing your damn tonsils.
Uh-huh.
That dangly thing that's swinging in the back of my
cathedral.
Throat.
Yeah.
But I also think that's not true.
That's what my teacher called it. The cathedral.
The cathedral? Oh.
It's my cathedral, darling. Yeah, Fran Bennett.
You've been using your cathedral quite a bit on the Apple Plus TV show Schmigadoon.
Oh, that was very good. We finally got to it.
Wait, I have to say, now 2 episodes are out so far, and I'm obsessed with it. I everything about it, I love. Like, I love the ensembles, the way that they shoot the scenes. Like, I love, like, the long shots of that don't cut away. I love that we're just seeing performers. I love the singing live. Like, because if it's not live, it's, like, faked really well. Is it singing live?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's singing live. Yeah.
But is it Les Mis style where you all have an earwig in or
we all have earwigs. I think there was only one part that I've done so far that I know wasn't live, and that was the very end of Enjoy the Ride, because we were in the tunnel and there were like these 3 big men pulling us.
Oh.
And so it was like, you know, and sloshing water. So we couldn't record that sound live.
Yeah. So is that the end of episode 2?
That's the end of episode 2.
Where you sort of go into the tunnel of love with Aaron Tveit.
And that's how we get through the tunnel of love.
Mm-hmm.
These men are pulling us.
Is Birdman lugging you? Wow.
Movie magic.
And waiters, yeah.
Movie magic, Bo.
Movie magic. Well, it really is. I mean, that's the whole point, right? And like the direction, like Barry Sonnenfeld is a genius. And that long shot specifically that really hit me was... I think it was in the pilot when Danny Bailey sings to Cecily "Can't Be Tamed" or that song.
Mm-hmm. He's so good
in
hot.
The beginning. It's just a long, long take, and I'm like,
people
this
are loving
is...
it. I'm loving that.
What? I'm loving that he's hot.
The Aaron Tveit heat on the internet.
Oh yeah,
it's been there. I mean, ever since Grease Law, that's when
I think
found out about
it. It's been there,
him.
And I just Mama. Don't.
Ever since Next
Internet.
To Normal.
Next to Normal. Yes, Next to Normal.
I had not seen Next to Normal. And actually, when I did end up seeing Next to Normal, he wasn't in it. He had moved on. As, you know, people move on. They move on. They do. But he had gone, and I was so bummed because I remember seeing him on the Tony Awards, and I was like, who is that? He's good and hot.
He's good. He's great.
He's great.
He's great.
Dove Cameron, what a legend. Name another legend.
A freaking legend.
What's her deal, Sass?
Yeah, tell us.
I mean, she's sort of like unreal. I mean, I don't know. She's kind of like, you know how you meet some people and you're like, I'll never be cool enough to understand your world.
Is that Dove?
That's Dove to me. I think she's just so, I mean, it's like Dove will ask me, like when we were at the doing the premiere parties, and it was like, what are you going to wear? Are you going to change when we go to Allen's? And I was like, am I going to change?
Are you have a second look?
I barely got this look together. I'm hoping this stays on me. And then she's like wearing a leather pants and jacket ensemble. And then she was like, what are you going to wear to your party? And I was like, I don't even know. I can't tell you, Dove.
I can't tell you, Dove. Oh, my God. My favorite Dove Cameron moment is when she was doing, and this is a deep dive, but she was doing Hairspray Live.
I loved her
and Hairspray Live. Loved Hairspray Live. And I mean, Amber Von Tussle is a part for Legends Only.
Right, exactly. Okay?
And
exactly.
I did see the original Broadway cast with Laura Bell Bundy, and the high harmony was launching. I mean, I had chills. I was the gayest little kid there, and I was crying when I heard the high harmony and You Can't Stop the Beat. And my mother turned to me and she was like, why are you crying? It's a happy song. And I was like, I can't tell you now how gay I am, like, but that's why. But anyway, she played Amber Von Tussle in the Hairspray Live, and there was a part where I don't know, I think it was on Jennifer Hudson's Instagram, it like Jennifer Hudson was recording Dove singing. And you just hear Jennifer screaming in the back, sing, Dove! Sing, Dove! Sing! Screaming at her the word sing. And I was just like...
And she did.
Can you imagine Jennifer Hudson screaming the word sing at you?
And your name being Dove.
I wish.
Yeah. Your name being Dove. And how were these parties, Seth? Tell us.
Oh, they were so great. We missed you. We missed our consulting producer, but you do what you have to do.
I know. I'm out of town. She's
booked and busy.
I feel like I'm in purgatory right now. I'm neither here nor there on my coasts, which sounds so elitist of me, but I feel like nothing's happening in my world.
Well, I think that's not true.
I think that's abject falsity.
I'm just saying activity. there's things happening, obviously, but I'm like, I feel like I'm like away from the action, and I've kind of just been like,
he wants to be,
you know, hold up.
Sure.
I want to be at the
parties. There's not that much action. I mean, we had two parties.
You threw one?
I threw one.
That's right. Mm. I couldn't come because you invited me, and I was like, I think I saw the email, and I was like, well, I can't go.
So but I am going to see you soon for what is it called? This is all going to be okay.
Before
we know it.
Before we know it.
This is us.
This is the perfect. We've slipped into some perfect. Can we call it guerrilla marketing or whatever? It's like,
please.
This is, please.
As but a gorilla, is, I say yes.
Here's how you market, baby.
Here's how you market. I feel like now no one listening will forget the title. This will all be over soon. Coming in August. Come to Great Barrington in the Berkshires if you want to see me, Cecily, Heidi Gardner, have a conversation about this beautiful, beautiful book.
I know, and I'm going to try to talk about the book and not you two and how wonderful it is that you're both doing this. It's such a testament to who both of you are.
Oh,
it's
my
just,
gosh.
You're so wonderful. You know, I don't know if the people out there know this, but you don't get paid money for those things.
And
this
that's
is
not
just
what
a
it's
real
about.
Labor of love, a friend being a friend, and it's so kind.
What
I'm
date
so
is
happy
it?
To do it?
What day is it?
August 7th. We're coming.
Oh, I want to go.
Come.
You gotta go.
I'm gonna be in comp. I would love nothing more than
wait,
a comp.
Matt. I'm gonna drive up. You wanna share a car and we can like,
yes!
blast music. Let's do it.
I love this.
I Let's love that, it. And I'm gonna have a cocktail or three. I
okay.
tell you that because I fucking love okay. Heidi too.
Or a red burgundy.
I just saw Heidi in L.A.
Oh my God, ain't she the best?
What was she wearing?
She was
something
wearing
cool.
Some of the coolest duds you've ever seen. Everyone was well dressed. I did a little thing with Keenan, Chris, Heidi, and Chloe, and it was style all around.
Come on, style.
And all
style
the cut names.
Wow, hadn't thought about it like that.
The
kind. Well,
names.
I'm always going there.
Yeah.
I'm always thinking about sound and rhythms.
Where are the sounds? You know, like, what are the sounds of the situation? That's great. You want me somewhere, but what are the sounds?
What are the sounds involved?
Sort of. Where are the sounds? Where are they coming from? How loud are they? Like, what are the consonants? I love a good consonant.
Well, here's the thing. Can I be serious for a second?
Bowen, I've been waiting for you to be serious this whole time. I've been waiting.
I know. But there's something about there's something about Schmigadoon, you know, being the stacked cast full of, you know, musical theater people. And then there's something to us as fans of sketch comedy and us as people who can like track queer sensibility or find it in people, and Cecily being someone who can deliver on that always. But there's something about Terrazano specifically where there's a moment at the end. I'm sorry, Cecily, we're bringing up Terrazano's.
This is co-wrote it with Fran Astuti.
Okay.
You never do this to me.
Yes, that's it.
You know, Bowen, yes. I knew what you were going to do. It's the way she says this to me. Can we never do this to me?
Stop yelling at me. My dad was a really messed up guy.
Messed up guy.
My dad was a really messed up guy.
And then Gosling is losing it.
Yeah.
Gosling's losing it.
Bringing up the dad. The tough relationship with the dad.
He's a really messed up guy.
It's
this bridge and tunnel girl that's just like, don't tickle me like that, like stop, like but like it's the, her action is stop,
yeah,
like that,
yes.
You know, and you know it,
and everyone understands everything that she's saying in her head. They all feel sorry for her. Mm-hmm. Her story's the toughest. Her dad was a really messed up guy.
Readers, you have to watch the Terrazano sketch. Literally, just type in SNL Terrazano's Cecily. You'll find it.
And that hair is just so
iconic. It can't be long. The Kyle Richards like sort of like moment. I can't. By the way, we have to talk about Housewives later because I know you love.
You know it. This has to be a two-part episode. Probably.
This is going to be 3 hours.
If we get into Housewives, yeah.
Yeah, trust me.
It will be. But we have to talk about the sequel sketch, which is Domenico's with Adam Driver, and that is the coffee. That's the BK Joe's thing or whatever. But there's a moment there where Krav Maga, and then you tell Heidi's like, well, I think it's great, and then you go, I forget what the exact wording is, but you go, when this movie comes out, you're gonna want to kill yourself.
Because you sound poor.
Because you sound poor.
And I'm just saying that as the only person here that's going to tell you the truth. You sound poor. When this movie comes out, you're going to want to
kill. You sound poor.
Come on. These are like money lines.
I can't. I'm telling you, I literally can't. I just had a moment where I flashed back to, Moe Chandon. Like, way back. And then I was like, I can't even believe that, like, I literally, it's just so gay and lame. I was like, I can't believe we're talking to you, and I can't believe I know Vanessa, I'm going to be on that fucking show.
Matt's
I was
like, this Vanessa's
is show. I love that.
I was like, this is crazy. I was perfect. Like, these are the funniest women in the world. I love you. Anyway, that's like, it's like uncool to say, but like, anyway.
I keep cheersing. I'm doing very mom things on Zoom. I did ASL applause.
I love this long sleeve shirt. What is that? Is that like a tie dye moment?
It is, but it's my friend had a baby, and she loves tie dye, and I'm wearing it because I was cold. Mm-hmm. I'm not a normal like tie dye kind of gal, but my friend Bianca really loves, what is it, indigo? Is that this?
Yeah,
dye?
The indigo dye. Uh huh. The indigo dye.
Yeah, and tie dyeing.
Oh, so she made that.
I was there. I ordained.
Officiate.
The officiant.
So her wedding was a lot of indigo tie dye too.
Was this the one in the desert?
Yes, it was the one in the desert.
You showed me pictures. That looked very chic.
It was great. Yeah.
Where in the desert did you go far? Did you go to like just had a Joshua Tree moment?
Where's the Iron Man Mountain or where they shot Iron Man? It was there.
Oh, how cool! Get to go where they shot Iron Man.
That's well, and I certainly incorporated that in my speech.
It's great to gather here at a spot where Robert Downey Jr. was not far away.
Their favorite actor, Robert Downey Jr., and their favorite character, Iron Man.
I just like had to think for a hard 2 seconds about what his real name is, and then I found it. Tony Stark.
Tony, you found it.
Oh, I was like, Robert Downey Jr.? What do you mean? Who has to think about that?
I know. I mean, look, Robert, you forget how long in the game RDJ has been doing it. But, you know, I recently worked with Cybill Shepherd, and she, I told her, I was
what?
Like, well, I did.
I love Cybill Shepherd.
Love. And we so love I Cybill. Told her in between takes, I said,
wow,
you know, I have to tell you, one of my favorite movies is Chances Are. I was like, you and Robert Downey Jr.
Louis,
I was like,
wasn't that his name?
Yes. Yes. And so she was like, she turns to me and she goes, oh, you know, he couldn't be left alone. At that time, you know, he had to have someone with him at all times. Couldn't go to the bathroom alone. He really, you know, that was a hard time. Wow. But, you know, we had the chemistry. We had the chemistry. So that's
oh.
why.
They
so did. I was just like, and I was just, my jaw was on the ground. I was like, I love the movie.
I think whenever people are like, what movie made you cry the most? My answer for such a long time was Heart and Soul.
Cecily, I always talk about Heart and Souls.
You
and
Bowen do? Is
Heart and Souls.
I've never, still never seen it.
Kira Sedgwick.
Alfre like, Woodard. Forget it.
Mr. Hug-a-Bug. Hug-a-Bug.
Oh,
Hug-a-Bug,
my God. Baby. I'm crying now. Be careful.
Oh, my God. He won't be there. It was so good, Bowen. You must. It's like so, like, it's so, romantic is the wrong word, but it's so, like, it's like early 90s cheese, but in the best way.
Yes.
It's like, yeah. Such good performances. Like, oh my God, Charles Grodin, Tom Sizemore, RDJ killing it, Miss Elizabeth Shue.
Oh, we love Elizabeth Shue.
Yes.
This sounds very Baroque. Romantic is not the word. Baroque is, we need to start describing things
as Baroque,
More when it applies. And I think, I've never seen Heart and Souls, but I feel like it applies. Baroque.
But you think it's Baroque.
Baroque.
That's when you got no money.
Baroque bitch. Title
that
of that
is
front
Baroque.
Runner.
Baroque bitch. Yes.
Wait. But that movie at the end where Kira Sedgwick goes, go and live the life that I didn't get to live. And RDJ is just like, yeah. And she goes, I wish I could just give you a big hug. And then they can. Oh, this is a spoiler. Anyway, it's so good.
That line reading was honestly gave me goosebumps.
Matt's very good at the recital.
I'm an amazing actress. People don't know yet,
yes.
But they will. I've started to book more roles
now,
in film
and
television.
Now, have you done a lot of Kira Sedgwick? I feel like you should do more.
Well, you know, Kira Sedgwick is not far away from my best character, which is Sutton Strack.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
from The Real
really?
Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Of course I know Sutton.
This word violate is really too much for me. I violated you?
Wait, I need to bring out a thing to just...
yeah.
I'm using this to relax my face.
It's so I don't cry. It's so I don't cry.
It's
do
so
you
I
feel
don't
like
cry.
Crying?
Yeah. As a
yeah,
white I woman did. Who got called racist.
Racist.
I don't want to talk about race. Oh, hey, we're not going to do...
The implosion of white women this season on...
Oh, yeah.
New York and Beverly Hills. It's amazing.
What do you think... Both of you, I want to know what you think about the Real Housewives of New York ratings being so bad, and now there's like all
and
this
they're blaming
talk. They're blaming Ebony.
Ebony, are you kidding me? It's unbelievable.
Crazy.
Ebony is like I think Ebony is so amazing and wonder, and I'm like I don't know how she does it. I don't know how you can want to be around that all the time, and she has so much patience, and then
a
to
saint.
Be blamed. And there's a Ramona Singer in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we're blaming Ebony.
Bowen is the number one anti-Ramona Singer girl.
Oh, I don't know if he... I think we could be competitive in this. I have really, really not liked Ramona Singer for a long time.
Oh, yes. I'm sure that's true. But I think I've thrown away my chances of being asked back on Watch What Happens Live because I did it over Zoom last fall. And they did a segment where they were like, okay, Bowen, you're just going to like rattle off your thoughts about housewife stuff between Potomac and New York and all this stuff. And I was like, sure. And then they got to Ramona and was like, she's a white supremacist and blah, blah.
They didn't show it.
Well, then
they
Ebony tried to ask it. So it,
yeah.
Clearly you did make a mark.
I hit a nerve, but Andy seemed like actually peeved.
I don't know why would you even say that? White supremacist. I wouldn't use those words. I don't know why we have to. Can we just talk about something fun?
I want to talk about my girlfriend stuff. I don't want to talk about race, religion, or creed. What's wrong with that?
I don't want to talk about this all the time. That's not what I want to come out. And I want to be sexy and have fun.
She's, I want to push her down the stairs. I've said this.
Yeah, COVID. Bowen says.
I'm so tired. I'm sick of talking about COVID. COVID this, COVID that.
She's a super spreader. And that needs to be said.
I love all the times they like show the camera and she's just on the side of a pool, like
adjusting her face, posing.
All you need to know just how unhinged that woman is you have to remember how she walked down that runway that one time.
Oh my God.
With the eyes.
And you know, and her father drank a lot, actually. So this is actually very triggering.
Very triggering.
This is a really inhabited, very lived in, literally, Ramona. Sus, this is very good. Have you worked on this?
I just watch so much TV. Mm-hmm. And The Housewives, really a lot. And this season especially. 80 always would be like, I can do impressions like as the show's happening.
Yes.
And
oh,
then I
and
lose
then when they're
it
off.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I will forget who Sutton Strack is after the season ends. But right now, she's my number one impression.
Sutton. I just love how they said her name for it. That's Sutton. Yeah. Well, that's just Sutton being Sutton. Classic Sutton.
Classic Sutton.
Can we also talk about what do we think about whoever is dressing Sutton?
Okay.
You know, and now some of them we are said hits. It. There's some misses, but who's dressing Sutton? I mean,
Sutton
for the confessional
look?
Sutton
is not like an unattractive person.
No.
She
no,
doesn't she's... have a bad figure. But Sutton's being dressed poorly expensive clothes.
Right. She clearly has taste if she's like running her own boutique, but it's like, I think she's just hiring a bad stylist, quote unquote, for the show.
She looks like a fake Christmas tree. She looks like a fake Christmas tree, like a fun Christmas tree that someone gets. Like, and they're like, it's a different color than usual because we want it to be different this year. It's like, why? She looks like that. It's tacky.
Yeah.
And also.
And I want to ask her, like, when's the last time you've gotten a compliment that wasn't like, this is fun and different? Like, when people only say fun about what you're wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, she can look great. She's in great shape. I just would love to challenge Sutton, if you're listening, to get a different stylist and see what you can do, because I bet you'll look great.
Who is the best dressed to you guys?
On Beverly Hills?
Out of everyone.
I'm very loyal with my fandom, and it's always Erica.
Yeah. Erica has inspired art for you. I mean,
yes, and I'm supporting her through all of this. And I think Dorit is like, she's gotten whatever, but it's like, Dorit is just wanting to be Erica. Dorit is the one that said, your panties are showing, or you're not wearing panties, here's panties. Which is like the most conservative, nasty thing to do. And then it's like, now she's in bucket hats and dressed like LL Cool J.
Yeah.
Playing lawn darts or whatever it was this season. Remember, what did they not know? They were like, what's this called? Horseshoe? What is that?
Yeah. They didn't know bocce, I think.
And she was truly dressed like LL Cool J.
Yeah. She is. She always goes for it. And like, the thing is, like,
when
I wonder.
Kiki and I actually, And that's her. Yeah. I'm actually doing like an LL Cool J thing right now. I don't know, Erica. What did you
when
think
you
about
hear
Erica?
What's going on?
I'm just worried she cheated all those people. And now
orphans
I'm doing a wedding
and
line
widows,
that I'm really
I mean, when you
about.
Read it, it's really sad. It's really,
really
sad.
It's really sad. And I'm loving my room in Buca di Beppo.
Wait, it was the only thing that was going to get me out to Buca di Beppo. I was like, I need to go in, what's it called? The sunrise room or whatever the fuck? The it's like an Italian name, I forget, but it's I must go.
And like, she kept saying all these like, oh please, I would have an easier time getting George to make out with a woman. And it was like the same, like, these are like my gay jokes that I tell. Boy, George would never fuck a woman.
Yeah, he's gay. He's gay, PK.
Because he's gay. So he would never, ever make out with a woman. But I would have better luck getting him to do that. Jagger,
It's like half Bjork. It really like starts to like dip into Bjork or Icelandic or something. It's so, and her accent is so peculiar.
It's untraceable. And she would say it's because she's a citizen of the world. It's when, and when you're a citizen of the world, you pick up all different cultures.
That's true.
I've been watching it with my mom, and she laughed at Jory being like, when you insult someone's outfit, that is below the belt.
Have you ever heard Heidi talk about their, like, the way they greet each other?
No, who's they? No. Like the
it's
Beverly
my
Hills
favorite.
People?
Like the housewives, because they spend so long, they're like, oh, I love this. What is this? Is this pink? Look at this. It's pink. I love it. Guess what it is? I'm wearing what you wore. I'm wearing the purple.
That's Rinna.
We're having fun. Look at you. This is fun. Oh, look at this. Well, look at the wall. That's a nice wall.
Oh my God, table.
Table. I love it. And you're in pink. And this is table? Okay. Ah, what fun.
A lot of airtime is dedicated to like what people look like, literally, because it's like Kathy thinking that Garcelle was Kyle. Like that took up like multiple.
Kathy, what do we think
beats.
Is happening there?
Oh, we love her.
Perfection. Utter perfection.
Every now and then I get a really good Kathy Hilton. Or because you know she like doesn't move her forehead. She'll be like,
who is Hunky Dory?
No, it's no. You know what? I keep losing.
Red Bull has caffeine.
Red Bull has caffeine. It's who is Hunky Dory? And she's genuinely
Hunky
asking.
Dory?
Thomasina, peeping Thomasina.
And I love what I loved is when she was like, she goes to Rinna. You have to handle this. This is your house. This is your house. You have to make this right. And what we don't want to do is push anyone to the edge.
Oh my God. And you know she was such a bully with her drinking game.
Yeah.
But I was just showing out of context the bunny.
The bunny?
The bunny for the baby shower.
Uh-huh.
That, and it was like that scene just out of context is so amazing. their faces in it. I highly recommend a second view. Oh, and actually I brought the bunny. And there's so many close-ups. Everybody's like crying. And the bunny's in that wrapping paper. So for the ASMR fans, too.
Right. Yeah.
It's huge. It's good for everyone.
It's good for everyone.
There's something for everyone in The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but never more so than in that scene with the bunny. Anyone can has a way in.
Yes.
What, the news development this week on the Erica front is troubling, maybe. She got hit with the $25 million. The claim is that she took $25 million from Tom's firm that might have been embezzled from these clients. And this is starting to actually implicate her in all this stuff, I think.
I think the money, for sure, there's like money's intertwined. I don't think Erica was knew what Tom's doing. And look at the way he talks to her. Do you think that man told her a thing about what he does?
And also, I don't think she would, not to say like she couldn't understand it, but I don't think she would understand it because it's not her business. And also and when I say that, I mean, like, it's literally not a business that she works in, understands. I don't tell, you know, just because I'm dating someone, I don't tell them what I'm doing.
No, exactly.
He's just not telling her anything.
No.
And not that she's Mother Teresa or a great person, but I just don't think Erica was like, I think it's so, we always like drag a spouse in, and especially like, it's the woman's fault somehow. You know, like Jenny Jones, it was her fault, right? And not a homophobic man who shot another man.
Right.
Guys, I'm bringing it back to Jenny. I've been upset about this for a long time.
Matt, were you obsessed with Jenny Jones growing up?
No.
Okay.
She wasn't my girl of choice. Like I was more, Ricky was more my culture.
I fucking love Ricky.
Ricky had a poem, like there was always a rhyme introducing. I forget that I was just watching, my friend Shane sent me one recently. It was like, you're too fat to be a drag queen or something. But it said,
you're too fat to be a drag queen.
Jack Spratt could eat no fat and his wife could eat no lean. Girl, you are too fat to be a drag queen. And it was.
And then it played.
And
like,
every time they introduced someone, they'd be like, next up, meet Cecily. She is a 525 pound father of three. And it was like, how dare But also, like, that's how I want to be introduced from now on.
This is Cecily, a 525-pound father of three.
Father of three. And her friend Bowen says she is too fat to be a drag queen.
She's here to promote the book, This Is Us Not Going Anywhere Soon, Till the End of the World.
And again, she is a 525-pound father of three.
Honestly, wow. Okay, so I didn't know that new information came out about Erica. But Bowen, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking, I keep getting pulled in all these different directions, but I think I'm landing at a place where Matt and I watched the most recent episode together where she, you know, she meets Kyle and she fully has a breakdown. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I'm kind of convinced that I do think Bravo is, you know, doing their best to quote unquote protect her, which I think is valid and noble and whatever. But now I am convinced that like she probably just had no fucking idea.
I think that two things can be true. I think that she can have no idea what the hell that was. And I think that she also might have to give that money back because it's not hers. And yes. I think that people...
I don't mean to say I'm not on her side in that she should keep that money.
No, I just don't think she should go to prison.
Of course
exactly.
not.
Or be implicated in like I cheated people out of a plane crash or whatever. Right. You know what I mean?
It's that's so
when she's like, she's making little sing pop songs. Very gay songs. Yeah. At gay club. I'm not here to like cheat victims.
Yeah.
It is kind of funny though that like pretty much her entire narrative on the show and in her career is I have a lot of money. And now it's like the money is from these tragedies and that like you know, not all of it obviously because he worked on other things, but like, you know, it's dark and sad, and I think she'll be fine.
I think she will too. Like she didn't start off with money, and she like talks about that she's always worked hard. I think it's like now the narrative will be I got less money. Like I think she'll make the new narrative and she'll be fine. She didn't need Tom's business ever.
No.
Maybe like very early on.
To get started.
To buy some things. But she's always been talented.
She's always been talented. And I'm sorry to bring this back to SNL, but the one thing I appreciate about your sketch where you played her basically is something that my parents really appreciate is is that you, do you know what I'm about to say?
I'm just laughing that your parents loved it.
Is the part where you're singing the song and then you count to five in Chinese or you count to four in Chinese. You go, E-R-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S-S- it's a perfect Erica Jayde impression, we have to say.
Well, you know, and I did a Chinese opera in college, directed by Chen Shizhang.
You did a Beijing opera?
Mm-hmm. Chen Shizhang directed it, but that's why I know how to count to eight in Mandarin.
Oh my God.
You can go to a preteen prostitute. We went, ba? Yeah, ba? And then and I was the head of the ukulele group.
Brigade.
I was the ukulele group. Captain of the prostitutes.
Oh my God. What a powerful position to be in.
Ukulele captain of the prostitutes? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
It's either that or Baroque bitch. I don't know. I kind of like Baroque bitch.
Baroque bitch.
That's just a good one.
We have to ask Cecily the question.
We do have to ask the question. Bowen, what's the question? I forgot.
Cecily, the question is, we ask this to all of our guests, and that is, what is the culture that made you say culture is for me? This is formative culture that made your life move into a cultural direction.
Sure. Well, I would say that my culture for sure was Strangers with Candy.
Here we go.
And I watched it on a landline, dragged out in front of the TV with my gay friend, Graham Kostick. Have we talked about this before?
No, but is this the Graham we know in New York City?
Different Graham.
Different Graham. Okay.
But it was like, I was like a sophomore in high school, and we would just be on the landlines laughing, watching Strangers with Candy together.
Mm. And was this your gateway into like Second City and like who Amy Sedaris was and like all these things?
Definitely Amy Sedaris. But, and I also like, I'm always, I think like, weirdly Waiting for Guffman and all the Christopher Guest movies, Catherine O'Hara and Strangers of Candy. And then weirdly enough, Bottle Rocket were like my favorite formative comedy and like this is my world. But especially Strangers with Candy, it was like the fans of that show and me, it was like that's my world. Those are my culture.
These are all really good. Bottle Rocket's interesting too. Like that's like that's a Wes Anderson that like people
It's the first one.
Yeah. I think
Bottle Rocket. Wilson is so funny in that movie.
He's great. I mean, like, I don't think I've ever seen him in anything I didn't like him in or found him, like, very appealing in. I think he's, like, a star, and I love his little nose.
I think he's fab. I had such a crush on him for so long. But it's he's like, hot. I think Wes Anderson without Owen Wilson is just not, doesn't do it for me.
It doesn't?
Like, I think, no, and I think, like, the movies are great and they look cool, but I think Owen Wilson was so funny. And there's just something about just, like, such a person who with low self-esteem, you know, like, just kind of, like, not a... who's not great at things, but that you root for.
Yeah. I mean, was that the first Luke and Owen feature? Like was that the first time you saw that, like, you were introduced to
them? Yeah, because they did it in college. It was, like, a 15-minute film. Yeah, and then they made a full movie. And I will say, this is the one where I always have, like, my gay friends will go, now that's interesting. And which one was that again? It's like we're all on board for Best in Show and Strangers of Candy, and my Bottle Rocket's really where I go off onto my own.
No, I love that though, because Bottle Rocket, there's something about, I feel like I'm not just saying this because you're contextualizing it with these other queer works, but I'm like, I feel like, because I think Waiting for Guffman and Strangers of the Candy are kind of queer in some sense. This like
very much
wise.
So.
I would say very. Yeah,
it's almost exclusively.
But there's
a Drag Race challenge about you. It's like
yes, but Waiting for Guffman, I feel like doesn't. Well, no, I mean like
Corky.
I mean like Corky is gay icon.
I mean if Parker Posey's given a chance to shine,
pet.
You've got
teacher's
a queer
pet.
Yeah. Teacher's pet, come on.
You've got a great
pantsuit for my wife Bonnie. And he's in a Judy Tenuta shirt dancing.
Oh my God. But Bottle Rocket is, I watched it like last summer weirdly because I was like researching like crime movies and like, not crime movies, but like, wait, no, am I getting it wrong?
You might be getting
it
wrong.
I don't know, but I want to hear more.
No. It wasn't. It's not crime. No, I was trying to write. I was trying to write a crime movie, and then I wanted some dynamic to be like similar to Bottle Rocket, where it's Owen, like the Owen Wilson character, is kind of dragging Luke's character along in all of these like in all these schemes, and Luke has just kind of been broken out of this like, you know,
well, he
place.
Didn't even get broken. Yeah, he was in a mental hospital, but it was voluntary. Yeah. But. And then the doctor's like, why are you jumping out of the window? And he's like, he didn't know that it's a voluntary hospital and he kind of needs this. So he's pretending to break out for Owen Wilson, who's going like, call.
Right.
He needs that. Yeah.
He needs that. And they do go on to like pull off like all these heists.
Well, they rob Luke Wilson's house.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he takes the earrings and he's like, you said, I told you, just don't take the earrings.
Right.
I got those
right.
for my mom for her birthday. Yeah. It's just a good, like, it's a great loser, but lovable loser. And it's friendly. His friend tries to take care of him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm realizing? Owen Wilson does a lot of two-handers. Like, he's like a very, he's like always
like Loki too.
Well,
right?
I mean, like, Loki, like the Shanghai Noon, Shanghai Nights of it all, Wedding Crashers famously. Like, it feels like Owen Wilson is great at reacting. He's just always.
He's just, yeah, he's there to underline what the reality is and what's going on.
Yeah.
I appreciate it too. Someone who's great in an ensemble or a team.
Yeah.
You know,
someone who can fade in but stand out. You know what I mean? We know you.
Exactly. And support and lift and be there for the others and doesn't need all the attention and like lets other people shine. I think it's great.
Cecily has her face all the way up to the camera. She's completely filled
and
to the frame.
And let other faces shine.
No, I remember. So wait, Strangers with the Candy. This is iconic gay Stephen Colbert.
Strangers with Candy is my favorite thing ever. And you certainly, I know it's like so boring to be like, you couldn't do that show now.
You couldn't.
You really couldn't. But maybe you could. I mean, it's so funny, though, that like you maybe could.
You know what you could do? You could do like a 15-minute show. You know what I mean? Like you could get like, they could do like a 15, it could sneak in there like the way like I Think You Should Leave somehow snuck onto Netflix. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the funniest thing ever. So funny that I almost can't believe it was made.
Fuck, I know. Oh right? My God.
I think there is a really tiny sliver of space where you could make it today, because that is the character of Jerry Blank, that she is like offensive to everybody.
Right.
And
but the problem is there's so many people who think like that's what they do for comedy, and they're like,
sure,
it's just offensive, deal with it. And you're like, but well, it's not funny.
I wouldn't consider like Amy Sedaris to be like edgy comedian.
No.
You know? Like,
she's,
I don't think that's what she was ever going. She's a clown.
She's a clown. Exactly. There it is.
And but I mean, it is troubling to think like you could like, you couldn't have like a principal Black man, the like, kind of thing. And like
good lines. When the supermodel in that episode is like, I'm Dr. something something supermodel. 10 years ago, a modeling agent told me what my dreams are, and you can too. And then when she takes the test to see what her things are, it's like, what's your favorite color? Lemon. Rest. She's lying. What's your favorite animal? Kitten. Snipe.
Kitten.
Snipe. I mean, in the second scene of the first episode, you have Stephen Colbert writing on the chalkboard, and don't make it faggy.
And this other movie is like, and we don't know what exactly the Native Americans did to the buffalo, but it was something, because they all committed suicide by jumping in front of the white man's bullets.
You know, I think that I hope you feel, I'm going to tell you what people have told me and that I haven't taken to heart, says, as she pours some more burgundy. You gotta like really understand like how wonderful you are on that show, and on every show, but really on this show that is so tough to crack. Like, you really are pretty incredible.
Well, that's very, very sweet, Bowen. I mean, I think the world of you, and so I'll take that from you. I think it's like, I love it so much, and I, you know, was attached since 2018 or whatever. And so I got a lot of time with the material and got to say, hey, can we lower the key of this song, etc. But I think it's just, since I loved it so much, it was, you know,
and you love produced.
So you'll be better at it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really is like so special. And there's something powerful about it being shot like one of those, you know, golden age musicals. And
did you ever meet Chris Scatelli, the choreographer?
No, never met him.
He is one of my favorite parts of this whole thing. Yeah. And I feel like my favorite note I've ever gotten, and I think like you'll appreciate this, and he was like, when you, just about how these old stars used to like flirt with the camera, really, because of these wide shots. Yeah. And it was like, you know, these women are doing these scenes, but it's like, oh, he's turning out of the camera. And it was like, and if you'll notice, next time you watch it, anytime I dip in that show, my head is out to the camera.
Love.
And I think just from now on, anytime I dip, I'm looking at a camera. And I'm like, thank you, Chris Scatelli. That's my favorite note I've ever gotten.
And I feel like we all should do that. We all
don't know if you just watched the Jimmy Fallon Something Stupid sketch. I had a dip and I head to camera.
This is one of those lifelong notes that you just really carry.
It really is.
You.
It's one of those.
Ugh, I love it. I love it. Wow.
I will say also, like, I just had another light bulb moment, which is that Kristen Chenoweth played Velma Von Tussle with Dove Cameron, who was Amber Von Tussle in the Hairspray thing. And also, just watching Kristen Chenoweth with dark hair playing this thing. And oh, yes, I do! And like,
oh,
I just
feel
like she's just giving you
everything.
Chenoweth at such a high level. And my one friend texted me, he was like, Chenoweth is a standout on this show. And I was like, well, imagine she wasn't. Like,
imagine she wasn't.
Like, imagine Chenoweth came in and we were like, ah, yeah, No, Chenoweth is going to come in and give it to you.
She didn't really.
Chenoweth wasn't landing in this musical theater show called Schmigadoon.
She's so great, and I feel like she was like the first that I was active like quoting because she does things like that. Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, yes,
and then she has another one. She goes, "Okay, I'll dut." That's in a later episode, but just get ready for "Okay, I'll dut."
I'll dut.
And she's 3 foot six?
She's 3 foot six. And her hands are this big.
One of our shortest icons.
She's
I mean,
a tiny lady.
She is.
And then Alan singing that song in the second episode is so freaking funny.
Are you
and
gay?
Like, and so sweet. I mean, I feel and like so I cried sweet. The whole thing anyway. Mm. In a good way. Good tears. Good cries.
And I will say this, speaking of crying, like the second episode, you are so good and you're giving us parts of Cecily that we've never seen. And that's what I love. I'm like, I like that scene, spoiler alert, big beat here so people can skip. But when you guys decide you're going to break up temporarily, I'm sure, I hope.
Let's hope.
But you are so good in that scene. I'm just like, really wow, good. Like, I don't know. I just, whenever like my favorite people on SNL get like 80 with Shrill, and like, I'm telling you, when you guys see Vanessa in this show, Vanessa has a scene in the pilot. Vanessa has a scene in the pilot where I'm just like, I'm like receiving the information. She's like telling it to me. And I'm like, I was literally crying, and I was like, oh, the camera isn't on me, but I'm giving good stuff, but I'm crying because of her performance. Yeah. Like, it's so funny and so good. And so whenever you guys get a chance to show like another shade that isn't you guys being the best clowns, I'm always like, I get so excited. And like in watching this, I was like, this is so exciting. It's so exciting.
The tears of a clown, as they say. I think all of us are very good criers.
Yeah.
I don't know that I haven't really been tested in that way yet, and I'm really nervous.
You cried on
for
High
that
Maintenance.
Day. I cried on High Maintenance, but yeah, I don't know. It wasn't that kind of like really.
I would eat my shoe if you're not a good crier. I know you are.
Because you feel
things.
He's a really good crier in real life. Like sometimes, hit Bowen in real life when he cries, you can tell he's been trying to hold it back, and then he cries, and you're like, no, like,
I was crying.
I cried today to Bowen on FaceTime.
Oh, yeah. I love to hear it. I'm a big crier. You have to get these cries out.
Yeah.
Astrologically, what's your deal?
Oh, could you guess?
Are you Scorpio?
No.
Are you a Taurus?
Oh, God. I'm a Pisces. Taurus moon. I'm You're an Aquarius.
Aquarius.
Aquarius. Okay. Got it.
Yeah. And this is the mystique. This is the intrigue that Cecily cultivates.
That Scorpio intrigue, I guess. Not at all. I'm in a fucking tie-dye. This is Aquarius, baby.
Yeah, that's very Aquarius. And you would never guess with all this blue around me and this blue shirt and the fact that I just said I wept earlier, but I am a Pisces, rising Pisces, Cancer moon,
water.
Pisces in Mercury as well. And there's water all over
my
chart.
Oh my God.
And when you said, no, I'm not a Scorpio, I had to sort of shudder because you know who's one of the Scorpio kings is Bowen Yang.
Well, listen, my dad and my brother are both Scorpios. I have no water in me.
Yeah. But yet you are still in touch with your emotional center, your emotional.
But
power.
It is very much like it's an intellectual trying to understand my emotions.
Yes, yes.
Right.
Oh yeah, I relate to that. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely relate to
As
that.
As opposed to being like, just help, take me away. That's my hilarious impression of a water sign, you know?
Yeah.
I'll be like, me. The water signs in my life are being exhausting right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, I have a really basic question, which is, in that scene where you guys have that breakup, I mean, how many takes was that? How many takes did you do total? And did you save it for your coverage? What was that like on
No,
a
I think
level
I cried
you?
Every take.
Good.
And both sides. Because it also, I feel like when we were doing it, And the other thing is we didn't do a lot of takes, which I really loved about Barry. Mm-hmm, he was kind of like, if he got it, he got it. And he was like, if a director ever says to you, let's get one more just like that, he's like, they're wasting your time. Like, I love this, Barry. Because, and also they had to spend so much time setting up these shots. And it was just like the amount of time that people put in, and there's COVID and what. So to not mess around with 8,000 takes was great. But I think also when you give something to the person that's on camera, then they give a better performance too.
Always.
100%. You know? I feel like it's kind of crazy too. Like now, almost everything that's coming out now, like, has been shot during COVID. Like, it's weird to think that now. Like, we used to think that was like a novelty. Like, oh, it was shot during COVID. Like, they pulled it off. But now it's like everything that we're seeing now that's new has been shot during COVID. Was that shot at a time where that was very hard?
In the fall, right?
Yeah. I think it was just like everything else that was being done. It wasn't like very different from SNL, I guess. But, you know, it's like you're being tested. But in Vancouver, because they didn't have an outbreak like us. So they would shut down if like testing couldn't keep up. Like if the test couldn't get done fast enough, this is the science way they say it. If the testing couldn't get done
Fauci fast said enough that.
In the labs, that's what Fauci was saying. Then they would shut, everybody had to shut down. So it was really like, they weren't shutting down because of cases. They were shutting down because of testing. But we wound up like we got through the whole show and we didn't get shut down. We were really lucky. But I also think like you make a commitment to each other. Like we get to do this and we get to do musical theater, especially. And we get to sing and we get to kiss and dance and hug. That it's like, then don't go out to eat. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can make this commitment for 7 weeks because we get to work.
Yeah, that's really fair. That's beautiful.
So there's kissing. There's more kissing in the show.
So maybe there's a little bit more kissing.
I can't wait to hear. I can't wait to see you and Aaron Tveit come out the other side of that tunnel. And I hope that they bang. I really hope they bang.
We'll see.
Well, I guess you'll have to tune in. Friday, July 20th. 23rd.
There we go. Not everyone can do that high-waisted thing, but he's really doing that high-waisted thing.
Yeah.
He's got like a little Newsies body, that tight sort of musical theater.
Well, he's
boy.
In a little Newsies cap, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will say, I just want to, and not to, you know, blow anything, but there's going to be a Jaime Camille. That's going to be very, I think, another exciting thing for an audience.
There's going to be a what?
A Jaime Camille. Another hunk. That?
Jaime Camille.
There's another hunk coming in.
There's another hunk. We're getting another hunk.
And we're getting Jane Krakowski.
We're getting the hunk of Jane Krakowski. Come on.
A whole hunk of talent, more like. Okay.
The hunk in every way. Yes. Oh, she does the splits behind me. It like upside down. And I won't. You'll see. She's amazing. She's unbelievable.
Speaking of death drop and splits and talent, what are we thinking of All-Star 6? Because I know you're a super fan.
Right. Okay. What was the last? I had a very crazy week. But you know what it is? There's like some people I'm like, okay, let's get through a couple of these. I'm actually liking Ginger Minj a lot.
She killed the last episode.
I always like Akaria.
Yeah. Uh-huh,
uh-huh, Akaria. Uh-huh.
Akaria C. Davenport.
Where are you guys at? What are you thinking?
Yeah. I was disappointed with this last episode.
I appreciate this season for making me like queens who I didn't have any opinion on before. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, like I like that I am into Raja O'Hara. Yeah. I like that I am into...
Definitely a better showing for Raja.
Yes.
Much.
Yes.
Much.
Yeah.
Much better.
She's like really fun. Also, I have to tell you, like in this last episode, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, skip ahead. But Scarlet Envy got eliminated and I've been liking Scarlet Envy. And I constantly feel like she kind of gets the short end, and I'm like, her drag is really good, and I don't know.
She's not for everyone, and one of those everyone's might be me. But that's But I say that with respect and go, and she's gorgeous and great at it,
as they all are.
And there's one other queen that is not for me, but I'm like, who cares about? I don't want to criticize these amazing queens, but I'll say it and I'll mouth it to you.
Okay.
This queen drives me nuts.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Okay.
My dad wanted me to sing for his friends and would beat me. And that's why I can't do this choreography. And wait. I'm like, the only person that can say that is Michael Jackson.
Yeah. You were a guest. You helped them with their roast.
Oh, I loved that episode. So,
yes. I don't know if I helped much, but I was there.
You did. You gave great notes.
No, you were great. Wait, but what season was that?
Season, that was All-Stars 4.
All-Stars 4.
Monet. You were helping Monet and Valentina.
Who was like my favorite queen, but I couldn't sit. And I didn't know, like, I was doing All-Stars. I didn't know that I was going to be seeing Monet. And then I was like, well, this isn't fair because I'm going to, of course, I want you to win.
Yeah. Sure. So you were like a Monet fan from back.
Oh, big time. Yes. Yeah. Love Monet. And saw her one-woman show. Mm-hmm. My birthday in New York was great.
Oh, right. You had on my favorite guest judge introduction line, which was, well, you look cute. And then Rue goes, Cecily Strong, you look cute. And you said, I don't get cute. I get drop dead gorgeous.
Yes.
Gorgeous. That's a very James that's a very James Anderson reading on it.
I was going to say, how dare we talk about these queens without mentioning that Peppermint is in the goddamn show Schmigadoon. Friend of the show, friend of us all.
Friend of us all.
When she turned around, I was like, oh my God, I didn't know Miss Peppermint was in this.
Miss Fortune Teller.
It was a huge deal. And it was like, especially also because it is a love letter to Broadway, that it was like Peppermint made Broadway history.
Yes.
Trans woman to originate a role.
Open a show.
To originate a role. Yes.
Yeah. And head over heels.
And she's just like, she makes history all the time and it's like no big deal to her. And she's so funny and so amazing. Another Aquarius. And I hope that I'm like, if we get a season two, I hope that it's the world's less COVID-y and like we get to have more of Peppermint. Because it was hard to fly people out.
Of course.
Like, Bowen, you were supposed to be in the show, right. But we couldn't, you know, timing got changed.
Sure, of course.
Yeah.
And then SNL was happening. I've heard, I mean, I don't know where, so by the way, the show is co-created by Cinco Paul and Ken Dario, wonderful people. And when we closed the room, there were very interesting directions in which the show could go. Because you'll see, without spoiling anything, you know, things are left in a very interesting place, not in a way that you would expect even now as an audience member. I'm very excited for people to finish this season.
I have a prediction. I have a prediction for what's going to happen. And I've only seen two episodes and I didn't write in the room and wasn't the star or producer of the show. So understand that I'm...
You were like, not a consulting producer.
No, I wasn't a consulting producer. I'm just like a fan. So readers, no, I'm just like you when I say this. The way I think it's going to end is that it's going to be like Jurassic World. And I think the characters from the show are going to creep into the real world. I really think that.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think Chenoweth is going to... I think the last shot is going to be Chenoweth in like a Gelson's. And she's going to be walking through and she's going to, you know, she's going to be walking through the Gelson's. And they're going to be like, ma'am, you need... what is this going?
Gelson's.
Yeah, she's going to be in Gelson's. An LA supermarket.
You need to wear a mask, ma'am. COVID's going to be...
And she's
COVID's
like, oh, no, I don't. And that's gonna cut to black, and then you know season two is gonna be like Jurassic World, where the dinosaurs sort of come into
everything
the world.
Was beautiful at the Gelson's.
Did you ever see Barbra Streisand do that with Anne Hathaway and Daisy Ridley?
I heard it.
Yeah. So there's like a featurette that is like her coaching them. And she, it's so funny because she's just like giving the notes, like, and she, like, to watch Barbara direct is, I love it. You have to watch the featurette of Barbara doing all those songs with people. You gotta.
I absolutely will.
That's all I had to say about that.
Bowen, anything on Barbara?
Any suggestions?
Anything to add about Barbara?
We love Barbara. We love that she only does movies now where she is sitting down.
Sitting down. I want to be comfortable. Sudi and I saw one of my favorite memories of my life is when Sudi and I went to go see Barbara, the music, the magic, the memories.
The magic, the memories.
At Barclays. And it was Barbara back in Brooklyn. And we went and we were sitting all the way in the back. And Sudi and I, like, We were so excited. We love Barbara so much. I was raised on Barbara. Like, Funny Girl was on, like, every day in my house. So we're there, and she, before every song, she had, like, an interlude that was like, well, you know, they told me that they, the label told me they wanted this picture for the cover of the album. And it's like a picture that's bad. And she's, and the crowd's like,
goes,
no. And she goes, well, you know, I told them I wanted this picture. And she, it's like the picture of the album. Is, and then everyone's like, and she's like, and you know, it did win the Grammy for best album cover. So anyway, this is the way we were. And she would go and sing and like kill it. She did Papa Can You Hear Me? And it was like bracingly good. It was insane. But before every
from the musical
number,
Lentil.
Lentil. From Lentil. Before every number, I'm not kidding, Sudi can verify, every number, there was a preamble that was, someone told me they thought one thing, I told them another, and I was right. And then she started to go off on politics. This is pre-election. So she went off on politics, and one woman like behind us was like, we don't want to hear this. We want to hear you sing. Shut up. Shut up! And we're like, what did you think was going to happen? You came to a Barbara Streisand show in the Barbara year of Streisand our Lord 2018. Concert.
Yeah. Did Barbara, did she go Patty and go like, who was that? Did she put the
She
put
didn't
the
hear it, but I'm happy she didn't because I think she
would have.
I'm glad
she didn't
like,
hear. It would have derailed the entire show.
Barbara's shouting to the nosebleeds. Who said that?
Who said that? No, I want to talk. Let's talk.
Remember Manila Luzon's insane Barbara?
Oh, that was, I mean, it was borderline something. We love Manila.
The schnoz that she put on.
We do love Manila. Yeah.
Do we love Manila?
I love Manila.
We love
but
Manila.
Maybe that's just like because I get Manila Luzon a lot. Or
you do?
What do you mean?
It's more like I like her because I'm loving myself when I say that.
People tell you you're giving wise. Manila Luzon?
What?
Or like that we look alike.
No.
I love that, honestly.
I think Manila's gorgeous.
Yeah. I very happily take that.
I don't see it for either of you.
Okay. Well, I can't wait till my concert when I go, well, you know, when a lot of people told me
I didn't look
enough like Manila Luzon. But you know what I said? I think I do.
And I was
and
right.
And then I went on.
Anyway, here's the way we were.
And then I went on to be right. People.
I went on to be right.
Have you been dying to sing on a televised program that wasn't Saturday Night Live? Because you can sort of like really pop off.
Ooh, probably not. No.
Really?
Like, there's
You're so
just
good.
Like a safety to Saturday Night Live, kind of. That it's like, because it's sketch comedy, it's always like we get to be character-y.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to be good. You know how like I have to get so drunk to do karaoke.
I don't like karaoke because I feel this is going to sound really obnoxious, but I don't like karaoke because I'm in pain afterwards, and I don't like to feel like I screamed.
And it's hard to sound. It's actually hard to sound good.
You're like you never know what the key's going to be, and you're like, oh, this is the weird part of the song. I don't totally know.
Right.
I'm always like practicing beforehand and like, that's not a fun night.
What song do you think Bowen and I do every time we do karaoke and have the harmonies on lock? What song do you think we do?
Oh, that's tough.
I don't think I know the answer to this myself.
Shut up.
There's so yes, like, I just feel like that could be anything because there's a lot of like, you know, it could be like Oasis Wonderwall. It could, you know, that would be like a confusing one. It could be Cranberries. It could be Take Me or Leave Me.
No, we've actually never done Take Me or Leave Me, which is kind of shocking.
We've never done Take Me or Leave Me. Yeah.
We do, Bowen, we do Let Me Be Your Star from Smash.
But it's not on karaoke. I don't think we've done it on a screen with the words on it.
How do you do it?
We do it with
live
piano.
Well, we've done it live. We do it live with a piano. And we know we're off book and we don't need
You don't need the words.
We don't need the words. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is the Catherine McPhee and who do you think is the Megan Hilty?
This is an easy question.
I would say Bowen is Megan Hilty.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Really good.
Thank God.
I'm Catherine. I'm sort of Catherine in my mix at the top, and then Bowen comes in with
you
the
you are ready
the breast
to date
smash
Yolanda's ex-husband.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
yes.
I'm ready 100%.
Yes. I still talk to my dog like Yolanda talked to him. Are you ready for dinner, my love? hello, my love.
Do you miss Yolanda? I feel bad for her. I feel like the line's really...
Oh, yeah. Good evening, my love. Would you like some
dinner, my love? Oh, I feel so bad for her because I feel like the Lyme's really kind of, well, Lyme's disease, aka Yolanda Hadid syndrome. It's kind of like Lou Gehrig's ALS.
I call it Yolyme's disease.
Yolyme's disease. If I ever do get Lyme's, I don't have Lyme's. I have Yolanda Hadid syndrome. Like that's how I'll tell people.
Did people say, because I didn't watch Beverly Hills before this season, did she have Munchausen's?
No, she had Lyme.
Oh, okay,
no,
okay. I'm sorry, but wasn't there a storyline?
That is just what Lisa Rinna heard. She got a text from a friend, and while they were in Dubai, and she was in like a black turban, and they talked it out though.
My friend told me,
I got a text. I don't know what it means, and they were all in turbans in Dubai. Talking about Munchausen's. And that's why we love that show.
Yeah, Beverly Hills is great. And also, Beverly Hills is great. New York, when it's great, is great. And Potomac is always killing it.
I'm so late on Potomac, and it did so much for me. I loved it so much. I just got into it, and I'm like very ready now for this new season to binge.
Yes. We're only two episodes into this new season, and I think it's interesting so far. I don't think it'll quite reach that like ugliness as last season, which
I didn't love the ugliness for them.
I didn't love it either, but it did fuel the second half in a way that felt interesting. I was like, well, I'm keyed in every single moment now.
Yeah.
Bowen was on Watch What Happens Live with Monique.
With Monique.
Samuels.
Yeah.
So that was like,
oh, wow.
Yeah, like during the thick of it.
Oh wow!
It was like this. It was like the episode. It was the episode after that like barnyard like fight, and I was just like,
the wine barnyard.
The wine barnyard.
Yeah. And I had to be like, I know.
Well, I was like, you know, I support you, Monique. I didn't say I support you, Monique, but they like threw it over to me. They were like, Bowen, what do you have to?
What do you think of all this? Right.
Yeah, they're like, what do you have to say about all this Potomac stuff? I was like, I just hope there's space for radical, you know, compassion. And
and you said, like, fuck Ramona Singer, that white supremacist.
I hope she dies alone about bitch. Ramona.
I said, I hope she dies alone. I said, she's a white supremacist. I hope she dies alone.
Well, and of course Andy I'm going to die alone. We're all going to die alone. But I hope I look fabulous doing it. I want someone to hold me.
Oh, remember that scene last year?
Oh, you're a really cute guy. What a cute guy you are. Oh, you guys are really cute guys.
Cute guy. Hot guys
are
here.
It's so humiliating. You're like, how is this happening?
My 50 best girlfriends and two hot guys are coming up.
I just invited my 50 best girlfriends. You're not one of them. Big deal.
You're not one of them. You're embarrassing me in front of hot guys.
Because your vagina is out. I don't want to talk like that, okay?
Vagina.
Because that's not what's sexy, okay? Sexy is, you know, tickling with a little feather, okay?
Okay.
It's not anything nasty, because now you're being nasty, okay?
Okay, wait.
And oh my God, poor Sonia and her thing about Garth.
Oh,
Sonia.
Do you remember when she called someone? Well, I'm going to talk to you.
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on the rumors that Bethany may return?
I loved Bethany. I got to say it. And you know why I loved Bethany? Because nobody burned Ramona Singer like Bethany Frankel. I could watch that all day, every day.
You don't support other women.
And then like the waiter would come over and Ramona would say something, Bethany would be like, what is this? Well, now she's just telling her life. I guess we're doing this now because it's some weirdo telling her fucking word. It was always like, just out of nowhere, she would just, and Ramona was like, Bethany, I don't, and it was just like, Bethany burns Ramona so well.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't like Bethany. I think she's chaotic evil, but I will say she is unfortunately a star and funny. And when I was recently, my friend so Patrick funny. is watching.
Very funny.
He was watching New York from the beginning, and it's the season two reunion when they're like ganging up on Kelly Ben Simone, and they're like, you can't talk to her. It's like talking to Humpty Dumpty.
She's so funny. And my other favorite moment is when she puts on that tiny little bikini to tell Luann about Tom. Oh my God. So I heard something.
Is it about Tom? Tell me it's not about Tom.
It's just about don't Tom. Tell me it's about Tom.
Oh, God. And then she goes, when it's like, question mark. Oh, I just heard a rumor about you, period. That's true. That was like, I couldn't believe her life fell apart in slow motion for so long.
I can't believe
that. But she looks so great. And I almost feel like that's better. The price that she paid to some witch.
Yeah.
That it's like her life is crazy and she... But she looks so good.
She looks so good. But isn't that Ramona's deal with the witch too?
I need all of their... Like, don't you want their doctors?
Yeah. I mean, they all look incredible.
I mean, they all do... Right. They all... There's bone structures and bodies that I don't have access to. But the doctor, I want to know because I think they look so good.
Yeah.
You know, it's... I'm like I said, like, whenever I'm home, and I've been home a couple times recently, and I make my mother watch Housewives with me, and she doesn't naturally like it. So every time I put it on, she always comments, like, wow, that one's had a lot of work done. Look at the work on that one. Wow, they've all had so much work done. And I'm like, Mom, we're post this. Like, yes, this is the way they look. Yeah. We're post it. We can't comment. I was like, I can't.
Right.
I turned to her. I paused.
Sheena Marie is 25, and she's got Botox. Okay.
Yeah, and she goes, these women, they have too much work done. I'm like, no, Mom, this is what it is. And then she's like, I don't know, I just don't like it. And I'm like, yeah, but like 25-year-olds like have Botox now and lip fillers and like all this stuff.
And don't you think like somehow they look different? Like everybody looks the same when they get work done to a certain level. And they just look like themselves. They look great.
I know.
I don't see it anymore.
Something. They've bypassed something. Yeah.
It's good. I don't know because I'm always like, guys, I tried electrolysis 5 years ago once. So I don't know what anything good, you know, that's like as like crazy as I get. Mm. I used to Crest White Strip, everyone.
I think I'm overusing them.
I'm not. But you look, you have great teeth.
Bowen has really good teeth too. Bowen, you do the Crest White Strips.
I haven't in years. I think you should. I think
we're serving face.
You should accordion style it. We're serving face.
Did we all watch Legendary?
Yes. Oh my God, face. I mean, wait, what was her name? Shannon. Shannon.
Mother Shannon.
Two. Mother Shannon.
Loved
oh
her.
My God.
Yeah.
Wait, Matt has to watch Legendary.
Are you not watching Legendary?
No. I watched season one and then I've held. I've been traveling.
Two is really great.
So I haven't been able
is
to.
Really
I
great.
Almost
two.
Like more.
I want to watch it all in a block. Right now, I have to watch all these Keanu Reeves movies to do the episode of the Keanu thing that I'm doing on HBO Max Movie Podcast, streaming now, presented by iHeart Media. Thank you, HBO Max.
You're so good. You're so good solo, Matt. You're really
good
solo.
Did you listen to it?
I listened to the beginning. I haven't listened to the whole thing, but I listened to the beginning. You're so good and so, so funny.
Oh, thank you for listening to it. Anyway, it's been cute. Anyway.
I'm going to listen to it. I just wanted to get in on
you guys both need to come on. I'm going to have you both on. Okay. And that'll be a fun
bring us on to talk about. You should convince HBO Max to have Yentl on the platform, and then we'll both come on and talk about Yentl.
Yes.
I have to see what movies are coming up and pick one for each of you. No, and also I just feel like there's just so much. Like I want to watch Loki. I want to watch Legendary. Bowen's yelling at me because I still haven't watched Watchmen. Like there's so much. I want to watch this White Orchid or whatever. This like my new Mike White show.
White Lotus.
The new
Mike White show. Lotus. Yeah, I heard it's. Unbelievable.
That's
There's
what
so
I'm
much.
Hearing. Yeah.
You've got great Jennifer Coolidge work, great Tony Britton work.
Right.
Steve Zahn.
Hello.
So good. Hello.
God, for a second, Steve Zahn, I mixed with Ian's. Do you say Ziering or Ziering or neither?
Ziering.
I haven't said either.
Bowen's well, never for, said either of their
for
names.
For a second, I was like, wow, Bowen's a real fan of Ian Ziering. But clearly, you're not.
Okay. Natasha clearly Rothwell not. Is in it.
Oh, yeah, Natasha Rothwell.
How do we love Natasha? Come on.
The queen.
Come on.
Talk about someone who's overdue to... Bowen, we need to get Natasha on.
We need to get Natasha on.
Next week. We should ask her for next week.
Sorry, she'll do
queen.
It. She's like,
did one of the best comedic monologues I've ever seen at UCB, where she played a flight attendant, and it... Anyway, watch it. Just search it. Natasha Rothwell, UCB flight attendant monologue. She's so fucking good. She and not
she's
not
so
obviously
good.
She's done bigger things than that UCB monologue, but like
no, she'd appreciate that. I think, yeah,
her roots,
a queen.
Her
roots.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think it's time to move to I Don't Think So, Honey. So I think we've sort of moved to that episode of that point in the episode where we do I Don't Think So, Honey, which is a 60-second segment that we have here on Las Culturistas. By the way, my hand just sort of rang over. Look at the Speedo I got sent today.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. That's cute. Fuck,
right? It's from Homoko. it says, yeah, look at that. Homoko. Anyway, okay. They sent it to me, and my hand ran over it, and so I just had to show it.
I like
that. Wasn't product placement. It was literally right here.
No, look what I got from Homoko.
Okay, so this is a 60-second segment where we absolutely pop the F off, on an item of culture or anything in the world, really, that we just feel like dressing absolutely down. And it's done in every single episode of Las Culch. And this episode will be no exception. So, Bowen, I do have something.
Okay. This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. The seat covers for toilets. Thanks, but no thanks. It's made of shit fabric. Like, what is this? It's like the consistency of half a piece of toilet paper, and then you have to negotiate it. You have to cut out the middle part so you can lay it down over the seat so you don't, like, fucking, I don't know, get a little bit of piss on your ass skin. Grow up. If you are a gay man who eats ass, you can sit down bare ass on a goddamn toilet. I'm over it. Also, not for nothing, but if I don't want to have that little piece of piss on my ass, what you do is you take the toilet paper and you do just so. You get it off. Or do what I do, just take 4 strips of toilet paper and creatively put it on the seat. It's also going to be better than that fat, stupid shit that they put on there. Also, while I'm at it, automatic toilet flushers, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to do it myself. I don't need to have you in my head afterwards. What if I leave the bathroom and then I'm concerned that you don't flush? I know there's a button, but you can't always find it. I don't think so, honey.
And that's 1 minute. I'm gonna have to disagree with you on this one,
baby. At the gym, at the airport, these places, I'm like trying.
At the airport, it's the most important place,
mama. So what you do is you take 4 pieces of toilet paper and do it on the seat because you can't negotiate with these toilet seat covers.
Yes, they're unnegotiable. You have to spend the extra half second to a line, mama.
Sweetie, they're non-negotiable, sweetie. I don't think so, honey.
You know, sweetie, no. This is we're having this
darling
discussion.
Dear.
You can take those covers, darling dear, and you can blot them on your face if you want to get the shine off too. Those absorb oil very well.
Well, I'm not very shiny
well.
Ever, hon, because I put sunscreen on every day, so I make sure that
That's
I
not
take care
how you
of
prevent
it.
Shiny.
Well, maybe not for you, blotchy bitch. All I'm saying is you have to do so much business to get the toilet seat cover on the toilet bowl seat. And I'm just like, I'm sorry,
you
but
need
I'm here because
I
have to shit
ask
now.
The toilet, what I've done to start the toilet flush when it starts. Because I'm always on the damn seat. And I'm like, now what has my body done? What movement has happened?
I'm so concerned.
Like, what phantom has passed?
And there's
what
nothing phantom? Worse. And you know these toilets I'm talking about. The white toilets. White.
And they're like, oh, sorry. I guess I thought you were done. Because most people would be done right now. You're like, I'm peeing. Get over it.
They flush so aggressively, too. They're like the ones that go, and like, then the water, you get the splash back. And
right.
I hate that. When you have the water from the toilet bowl, from the flush, the aggressive flush, hit your butt.
Exactly.
And then
yeah.
you have to like deal with that. I'm like, get out. It's like a hard enough thing to shit at all. And now you're going to make it this much difficult? I don't think so, honey. And if I'm in a public restroom at a gym or an airport and I have to shit, I don't have time to do the toilet bowl cover. It's an emergency.
Mm-hmm. Because, right, we're not choosing to go number 2 in public if we can help it.
Never once in my life. I don't know what it is, but, like, I'd rather die. I'd rather die than go to the bathroom in a public place. Like, no, that's sacred. That's what my toilet bowl at home is for. And I just, like, it's, like, everything about it. It's, like, that's the crack in the stall door that is wide. Like,
yeah.
Are you kidding? Like, Anyone, any goose and gander could like look in here and see me in the throes. And now I'm like thinking about that. The toilet seat cover is constantly sliding off.
It's an untrustworthy lock for sure. And
untrustworthy lock. Also, the toilet seat covers like are not wide enough to cover the whole seat. So it's like just like it's like
you're not aligning it. I reject.
I also have a huge fat ass, so it's like it's not working.
Oh, wait,
okay. Wait, get a screenshot of this. It's gonna be the episode thing.
Yay!
Did they get it?
Yay.
They got it. If they didn't, they're fired. If they didn't, they're fired.
Wow. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Trying to save your job.
We got it.
Okay.
We got it.
Huge.
Okay.
Now Bowen Yang is gonna pop off.
Yes.
So you disagree with mine, and we'll see if I disagree with yours. This, in essence, is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey's Cece's Pizza's closing down, going out of business right as marijuana legalization is really starting to take off in this country.
Okay.
It is the ultimate quintessential stoner chain restaurant. And yet I'm in Cleveland, Ohio, the land that you would
of
think
the free.
Would... Of the free, you would think. In the land of the Cece's Pizzas, you would think. And I brought some exquisite edibles with me on my trip here. And I thought, I'm going to pop one of these.
30
I'm gonna
seconds.
Get an Uber. I'm going to go to a Cece's Pizza and eat alone because I'm willing to go on that journey for myself. I don't care who sees me. I am going to the Cece's Pizza alone. And yet, I open up Google Maps. I type in Cece's Pizza into the search bar. All of them
15.
Pop up on my map. They say permanently closed. We have, failed this. This is an I Don't Think So, Honey, to society for
Five
letting
seconds.
Cece's Pizza fail right as marijuana legalization is about to be a popular phenomenon in this country. And I think it's terrible timing. It's diabolical timing.
Does feel like that's on us. Yeah.
It is on us.
And that's
we let
1 minute plus. I feel so bummed for you.
I'm devastated. Bless you.
I felt it coming. I was going to
so
say
Bowen,
something
though.
Else. I was like,
that's so
you know,
Bowen,
we're
though.
Going through Bowen's problems, but you still can bless your friend.
No, thank you, Bowen.
Always.
Bless.
Of course.
He will always bless me. It's actually Rule of Culture number 99. He will always bless me. Are we talking about Bowen or God? Depends. Depends on your creed.
In some cultures.
Corner of the internet.
God. Corner of the internet. You know, I really just wanted to really put that out in the conversation. Cece's Pizzas were really an important part of the fabric of chain restaurants in this country. And the fact that they're gone means that, you know, we're deprived
and
of
And we were like,
really
finally.
Good. It is.
Yeah, I know me.
Yes, pot is legal. And what happened to Cece's?
Gone.
It's so gone. Shitty, too. You know that everyone at Cece's is just like so bummed because they were about to make huge money.
I know. And they were about to go public.
Makes me pout.
Okay.
It really makes me pout.
It makes me pout. Cecily, are you ready for an I Don't Think So, Honey?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I knew it.
And I just apologized in advance.
No, don't do that.
Okay.
This will be the... This,
you guys,
don't do that.
Don't
Mine
do that.
Is me, guys. No.
This is Cecily Strong's I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
Okay. I Don't Think So, Honey. Woodchucks. Okay. I am trying my little... fat ass is trying to grow vegetables in my garden and these motherfuckers and I am like a Zen Buddhist and I can't kill anything and these motherfucking woodchucks, I looked out of my window the other day and six of them are living in a hole. They have like the Montreal Underground Mall outside of my house. I have had to borrow, well not borrow, I've taken used cat litter and ground up blood. It's like this powder that you have to spread. I am on like farming blogs to try to understand how to deal with these motherfucking woodchucks. And I was out there in like flip flops holding a big stick the other day. My dog fought with a baby woodchuck. It was the worst day. And I was going, Lucy, no, Lucy, no. And these motherfucking woodchucks ate my broccoli. They ate my lettuce. They ate my sunflowers.
5 seconds.
And my little fat ass is trying to grow my vegetables in the Hudson Valley.
And that's one minute.
The other day.
This is awful. The other day.
Yeah.
We got the other day twice. And these
the other
little,
day.
My little fucking ass or whatever you say.
My little fat ass is trying to grow my vegetables to eat.
That sucks, man. That fucking sucks.
These little motherfuckers, and they look so cute, but they just...
Why wouldn't you let Lucy fight them?
Because I was like, I can't see my dog kill, and I can't see my dog get beaten up by a baby.
What if she wants to kill, though? Why aren't you
can't have that. It'll change our relationship. It's too late in the game.
When a dog does something even uncouth, I'm like, I want to see them as my pet, not a killer. She peed and pooped on my friend's bed
on Thanksgiving once.
Oh my God.
And I was like looking at her and I was like, I don't even know who you are. As I walked in on it.
I don't even know who you are.
Who you are.
What is this? She's shitting
and pissing.
And it was like, because she was like showing off to their pug, Banji. It was like the two little girls going off to smoke cigarettes. It was like two little dogs. And my dog was like, want to see something really bad? I'll poop and pee on their bed.
That motherfucking chaos demon.
And then, God. And I was like, I have to go take a walk around the block. Because then I broke a wine glass and I was like, forget it. Lucy and I have ruined everything.
This is Thanksgiving.
We've ruined Thanksgiving.
You know,
what are we going to do about these woodchucks?
I'm trying to figure that out.
We got to help. Reader, if you have any suggestions, please send them our way. We'll let Cecily
know. I know about kitty litter, and I have all the powders.
The ground up blood.
It's 49% blood. Isn't that gross?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So it's like you have to make your whole home stink in order to deal with woodchucks. And that stinks.
You said Montreal Underground Mall, and I got the full picture.
Yes, exactly.
An empty, well, not empty.
And I also have like six little spikes. So anytime you walk around my house, you always hear like, because they're supposed to be like sonar. I don't know. Nothing works.
And they're really killing the garden.
Like, yes, when they get in, I mean, they eat it all.
What are you trying to grow? I'm trying to grow broccoli.
I'm trying to go sunflowers, cucumbers, tomatoes, Roma tomatoes. I'm growing cosmos. I'm growing.
You're like the Harry Hamlin of the Hudson Valley.
Yeah. I am very much Harry Hamlin. I don't have the pool because we don't have the fire problems.
Right.
Mm. Remember the little fire pool? But I felt like I got it. I understood Harry Hamlin.
Yeah.
Yeah. You really do. You really do. Well, Cecily, this is a new... I don't think I've heard you talk about gardening before. This is a wonderful new...
I'm not a good gardener. And that's the other thing is like whenever people come over and they're like, oh, I could teach you how to do this. And I'm like, no. Would you say that to an 8-year-old with a science kit? You wouldn't say you're doing chemistry wrong.
Mm.
Let them explore.
Some parents would.
Yeah,
well, that's true.
Okay.
I like that. I like gardening as a thing you find. You know.
Yeah, it doesn't look good, but every now and then I've eaten some of my lettuce so far and basil, tomatoes.
It really tastes better because of the emotional effect. Yeah.
And some days it was like dinner's all you got.
Some days dinner is all you got. It's a rule of culture number 48. Some days dinner is all you got.
COVID really bummed me out today, so I'm just kind of counting on dinner to make up for.
I know. Don't be bummed.
I'm a little bummed all over again. I really am.
I didn't actually mean today. Oh God, and I bumped everyone out. I meant that as like that's when I want dinner. No. Let's not even think about it. We're okay.
We're fine. I'm here in LA County, and I love my mask.
We're gonna keep vaccinating peeps.
Say that.
All right.
Listen. Okay. And on that hopeful note. As we look to the future of vaccinated, safe America.
Yes.
Wow. Think of Chenoweth. What I'm thinking is going to happen. This, again, is another one of my predictions as not a consulting producer or even the star or producer of the show. I think we're going to see Kristen Chenoweth sort of throw off all the dark clothes and she's going to be bright. And I think she's going to have a big number where she gives her classic... like that whole thing, and I think it might happen.
Oh,
I don't know.
I'm shaking my little shoulders.
Everything was beautiful At the Gelsons.
Yeah.
Character at Gelsons.
Laugh because it would be good.
It would be great. I would love it. It's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And right. Well, as a consulting producer, something to think about.
Okay, well, everyone, please watch Schmigadoon on Apple TV Plus, and please read the book. This will all be over soon. And come meet us in Great Barrington, why don't you?
Come meet us.
Come meet us, and please watch the program. We love meeting the fans. And please watch Saturday Night Live when it comes back. Maybe we'll both be on it. Maybe one of us will be. Maybe neither of us will be. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah, we're going to see. Who knows what the future may hold, but I won't be on it. Everyone.
You'll be crying on Vanessa's show.
I know. Yes. I hope I get
a crying scene. But I'm very excited for it. Yeah.
You should ask the writer's room for that.
I know. Absolutely. When I go in to visit the writers, I'll be like, so I really think I should cry. And they'll be like, okay.
When I go in to visit the writers.
A lot of times, actors on the show kind of go in and they say hi.
They do.
Hello. Yeah. Yes, shows that I've written for, they pop in. They say, hey, what's good? You know.
Sure, I guess.
I guess I'm not invited in there yet, so I guess I don't know, but I would like to come. Just message Jeremy, let me know I'm around.
Anyways,
God damn it, you are the best, and this was literally something that we've waited for a very long time, and we're so excited for you.
The show
is so good, at plural, because you're so great on SNL, as we know, Alejand, and Schmigadoon is we love, and I am coming to that fucking...
you get a comp. We're giving you a comp.
Yes. Good. Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, this was huge. Bowen, we end every episode with a song.
Schmigadoon, where the sun shines bright from July to June. For the rest of that song,
you gotta watch Schmigadoon. Streaming now on Apple TV Plus.
Bye.
Bye.